Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Monday edition of the Boneyard. We're going to get this up much earlier than I planned. I got up early. I've been grinding all day. Got a lot of grinding to do here in the days ahead to make sure we have good quality content for you guys ahead of the battle for the Golden Egg. We're going to break down Ole Miss today. We got a cool top 10 list for you. We'll take a quick look at men's basketball. Not going to spend a lot of time on that because it's very much an Egg Bowl show. But a reminder for those of you that are just kind of getting up to speed, we're going to do a Boneyard. We did one Sunday. We'll do one today. We'll do one Tuesday. We'll do one Wednesday. And then we'll do one this weekend. If we win, we'll do it Friday. If we lose, we'll do it Saturday. That's the plan anyway. So a lot of Boneyard in your life this week. The only day you won't have a Boneyard, a brand new one, will be on Thursday. And I'll be traveling that day back down to South Mississippi to enjoy Thanksgiving with my mama for the first time in a long time. Now, they've been up here before. Don't get me wrong. We've had Thanksgiving here, but I've seen my mom since then. But I look forward to going back home and being with all of them. And I wish you all the best this Thanksgiving season, no matter who you cheer for. I hope that you take some time and spend some time with family. One of the things that I am a proponent of this time of year is forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is always a great thing, but as a person that was once kind of estranged from his family, the holidays are very difficult. And deep down, you really want to be with your family, but ego gets in the way. And if somebody just kind of reaches out to you, sometimes you feel like a sense that somebody cares. So you be that person. You be that person. And maybe you're not ready for a phone call, maybe a text, or maybe a Facebook message, just something to let people know that you love them and you're thinking of them this time of year. Those things are always very important. So you be that person within a relationship. The last thing you want is for one of you to die without reconciliation. And that sounds kind of morbid, but that's the reality of life. I don't want to pass away with anybody thinking there is beef between us. If we live right now and there's beef between us, it's with them, okay? No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Now, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We do. We've loved them from the beginning. We continue to love them as they very consistent what they do, but they evolve. You know, we get some new items every now and again. I always ask about the specials when you go in. You owe it to yourself. Bulldog Burger Company takes care of everything. You put your feet under their table and just let them kind of take over, right? Get the spring rolls as your appetizer. You'll start feeling better before you even leave. Maybe you have an adult beverage. Maybe you don't. It's up to you. And then find a great restaurant quality hamburger. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, the Bulldog is the way to go. You can't go wrong with a great straight-ahead American rock and roll hamburger. That's what that is. I like the onion rings. I don't like onions. I know. The French fries are great too. Arguably the best in town. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And again, let me recommend to you, if you have a loved one in the greater Starkville or Tupelo or Ridgeland and Flowood area, consider an Eat With Us gift card. Go to eatwithus.com and you can get one that's just specific to Bulldog Burger Company or one that is open and accepted at all Eat With Us group restaurants. That is a great gift idea for maybe the hard to buy for friend in your life. And people won't be offended if you tell them you need more spring rolls in your life. We all know this. It makes you better looking. But consider that as a gift item. Gift card from the Eat With Us group. Eatwithus.com. Maybe you've got a young couple. Maybe you've got, you know, some friends. Maybe some people just need a night out. You can provide it on you. They'll be glad you did. Well, not Burger Company, the place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. All right, let's go ahead and begin our look at Ole Miss. All right, let's take a look at how they got here. They opened up the year with a 63 shelling of Georgia State. And if you remember, that was a game for a little while. Austin Simmons threw a couple of picks, and then eventually the difference in the strength and conditioning programs took over. And Ole Miss won big. Week two, everybody always says Ole Miss always gets their four non-conference games up early, and they do. Not this year, though. They had Kentucky in Lexington, and we talk about it's weird to go up there. Well, the Rebels escape with a 30-23 victory. And, of course, Kentucky, still an opportunity to get bowl eligible. A week later, they welcome Arkansas. And Arkansas, about to go close out and win this ball game. Ole Miss forces a fumble right around their own 30-yard line, and they hang on to win 41-35. And so, 3 weeks into the season, Ole Miss is 3-0 and 2-0 in the SEC. But you look at it, and we were all thinking, you know what, maybe they're not as good as we thought. We were wrong. We thought Tulane might give them a game. They didn't. The Rebels win 45-10. LSU comes in, and looking back in hindsight, I mean, this wasn't the win that maybe some people thought it was. LSU was ranked number 4 at the time. Now they're 6-5, and they narrowly escaped Western Kentucky last week. So it's not the quality win that it once was, but it's still another SEC win. And then Washington State goes in, and Washington State nearly pulls the upset. But Ole Miss wins again, 24-21. They found a way to win by playing ugly. They go to Georgia, and they are rolling in this game. Absolutely rolling. And you've heard me say it on the show a million times. There's probably nobody in the country better at making second half adjustments than Kirby Smart in Georgia. Guys, this game looked to be, we were in Florida, and I'm like, this is going to be miserable. If Ole Miss beats Georgia, this is going to be absolutely miserable. Well, didn't work out that way. It was 35-26 after three, and in Georgia, 17-0 fourth quarter. Made all the difference in that game. That's the only loss that Ole Miss has this year. And again, you go back to kind of closing out games. At times, they've struggled with that. They go to Oklahoma. We thought, hey, against that defense, that Oklahoma defense that looked so great against Missouri last week, Ole Miss put up 34 points against them. And I don't know how anybody can argue against Lane Kiffin's offensive play calling prowess. That is the best win that Ole Miss has this year. But it's a pretty significant win. Oklahoma may make the playoff. South Carolina makes it a game for a while, but eventually Ole Miss pulls away 30-14, and then 49-0 over the Citadel. And that's the game that Austin Simmons had the most extensive action since he was replaced by Trinidad Champus as the starting quarterback. And then you have that wild game with Florida. We really felt like Florida had a chance to win that game, but Ole Miss does what it takes late to win. So they're used to playing in these very competitive games. I don't think anybody can argue against that. What's interesting, when you go, you kind of look at, what there is, and kind of who everybody is at this point in their seasons, I don't know that the strength of schedule is what many people thought it would be. I mean, just kind of go back. Yes. Ole Miss is going to beat probably the best Georgia State team to ever come along. I think that's probably a fair assessment. But Georgia State is 1-10 this year. Kentucky's 5-6. Arkansas 2-9. Tulane, obviously that's it. That's a quality win. It's outside the conference, but they're going to be playing for a conference championship, right? I mean, so you run through that and you say, hey, that's a good win. That's a good out of conference win with a guy that'll probably be an SEC head coach here shortly. But they're 9-2. That being Tulane. LSU 6-5, Washington State. I haven't checked in on them. We'll check those guys out. But I remember those guys came in here and made it interesting without any question. made it interesting for Ole Miss. And Ole Miss had to make some plays late, but the Cougs, 5-6 this year. You know about Georgia. You know about Oklahoma. You know, South Carolina, 4-7. Is that right? 4-7? I think that's right. Let's double check. Let's just double check together. We're learning on the fly. Regular season. South Carolina schedule. Yeah, 4-7. I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. And then the Citadel, can you even talk about that? And then Florida, of course. It's an embarrassment, man. But, yeah, you look through here, and, you know, unless there's some upsets in rivalry week, they're not going to play many teams that are going to a bowl game. And certainly not defeat many games that are going to a bowl game. But there are some that will kind of point to Ole Miss's strength of schedule and lack thereof and say, you know what, they're not as good as their record indicates. Okay, maybe that's fair, but they're 10-1 with the long loss being to Georgia. And in Athens, mind you, in a game that they kind of collapsed there in the fourth quarter. So to suggest that these guys have not played well and had been coached well is just to be disingenuous. Now, again, you go back earlier in the year, if they lose to Kentucky and Arkansas, it's a different conversation. But they won those games, and it took them a little while to kind of find a sense of themselves. But they played pretty well. They're the top offense from a yards per game standpoint in the SEC. Been good. They have been. And as I've said on this show many times.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
I think this is Lane Kiffin's best coaching job. You go out and you get a transfer quarterback that nobody else is really chasing, and you put together a great year. He's played 11 games. We're talking Trinidad Shambles here. 195 completions with 299 attempts, but that's 65%. 14 touchdowns against 3 picks. Austin Simmons is, again, not what they said. He was going to be, the injury hurts, but you could tell pretty early he wasn't quite ready for primetime. And again, Ole Miss fans, you do it to yourselves. But Austin Simmons has appeared in 7 games, 41 completions and 70 attempts, 5 interceptions and 4 touchdowns, 58%. And did some good things in the second half of that ball game against Georgia State. But it kind of got away from him a little bit. And you ride with a hot hand. I commend Kiffin for doing so. The running game has been good, not great, but good. Kewan Lacy has been great, but it's not really a back committee approach. Trinidad Chambliss is the second leading rusher. Lacy has 1136. Chambliss has 444. So you can kind of do the math there and figure this thing out here. That's almost 1,600 yards. They've only rushed for 2,076, and some of those obviously kind of came in fluff time, right, late in the game. You know, Logan Diggs and Deuce Alexander are all over 100 yards this year. But in many respects, it's kind of a one-and-a-half-man show. You run that zone read, Chambliss keeps sometimes, but also I think where Chambliss is most dangerous is when things break down. You may get a run on him, but he's very quick, has good pocket presence, and is able to kind of evade pressure. And then the middle of the field's open, he'll just take off. And so that's the thing you kind of consider. Can you get Chambliss behind the sticks, and can you spy him enough to keep him from impacting the game with his feet? Yeah, we'll see. But, you know, Kewan Lacy is as good as most of the backs we face this year. He's one of the better running backs we're going to see. On the receiving side of things, Harrison Wallace has led the team, but they've spread the ball around a good bit. I think 7 players with 20 catches or more, memory serves me correct. But Harrison has been the dude. Despite missing a little time, it was one of those games, I can't remember, he got a little bit banged up. But 42 catches for 647 yards and a couple touchdowns. So he's been a very good possession-type receiver, but he's more than just that label would indicate. He hadn't had a lot of these long touchdown runs. And the truth of the matter is they haven't had a lot of those as a team. Harrison's longest is 55 yards. Daquan Wright has done a good job for him. 28 grabs, 485 yards, 4 touchdowns, which leads the team in the passing receiving category with a long of 64. But you know, it's not like the A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf days. It's not. And again, I think that speaks to the job that Lane Kiffin has done. You don't have that superstar wide receiver, but yet you still found a way to make this thing work. 3,356 yards receiving this year. Yeah, people talk about the balance of this team. They're a throw-first team, but they can hurt you with the running game. It's about 60% pass. But there's not a lot of holes in this team, especially on the offensive end. I think the offensive line has played well. The running numbers kind of indicate that. The lack of sacks also kind of lends you some evidence in that respect. Defensively, yes, they have taken a bit of a step back, but that Ole Miss defense last year was filthy. They were filthy. We had a terrible day running the football against them last year in a game that we still feel like we probably could have won. And if Michael Van Buren doesn't play like a freshman, maybe you do. But T.J. Dottery, a transfer from Clemson, 68 tackles, leads the pack, 4.5 of those for loss. Has not recorded a full sack, is credited with a half sack. Git Perkins, you know, we knew what he was, right? Out of Raleigh, we knew what kind of athlete Git Perkins was going to be. Had that great year last year. Well, he's right back. And they've got a little more depth. So they're spreading the play load around a little bit. But 56 tackles for him, 6.5 of those for loss. 2 of those are sacks. He's got a pick, 7 quarterback hurries. Cam Franklin, you know him better as Kamarion Franklin from Lake Cormorant. He was a guy that a lot of people said he was overrated. I liked his game. Now, I watched him play against West Point, and he didn't have a good game. And a lot of people like, oh, well, that's just all he is. Well, you listen, West Point does that to a lot of people. But Cam Franklin has really blossomed at Oxford. 50 tackles this year. 3.5 sacks, 14 quarterback hurries. So even when he's like a half step away of recording a sack, he does a good job impacting the quarterback. And so he is a guy you got to account for. Where's number 5? The top defensive back on this team is Wyatt Williams Jr. He has 50 tackles, also leads the team with 3 interceptions. They have just 6. He has 3 of them. 7 pass breakups, also leads the team, and he's recovered a fumble. Ole Miss has forced 9 turnovers this year. Wyatt Williams has had a hand in 4 of them. This is a guy that transferred in from Louisiana Monroe. Now, Will Eccles, a guy that we saw as an offensive lineman, he wanted to play defensive tackle, and his sister was at Ole Miss. It wasn't just that. But Eccles has done a good job. 47 tackles for them, 6 of them for loss, and also 3.5 sacks. 4 quarterback hurries to his credit, too. So he's proven. You know, that was the thing. People said, you know what, Will Eccles probably should play offensive tackle. Probably play a long time. But his heart was playing defensive line, and he's made it work. He's proved a lot of people wrong. I know this name has been said many times, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's Princewell Umanalen, I think is right. But anyway, you talk about an edge. This guy can get it done. 9 TFLs, leads the team with 5.5 sacks, has 9 quarterback hurries too. And basically, they just kind of line him up in a 2-point stance and a 7-tech and just let him chase a quarterback. And so they move him around a little bit, but he is a guy that you've got to be very, very mindful of off the blind side. The guy's gets things done. And so again, you look at this, and there's not a glaring deficiency, and the record certainly props that up. The secondary has had some issues at times, but it hadn't been one of these situations where they've been, you know, holding this team back, right? And so, yeah, maybe they don't get their hands on a lot of passes. Maybe they don't get a lot of picks, but it's not like they're getting torched consistently. Yes, they've given up some, but it hasn't been a scenario where you look at and say, you know what, man, we're gonna get torched out here. Look at the team numbers. From an overall standpoint, Ole Miss averaging just over 37 points a game, allowing just at 20 right? Now, of course, some of that is skewed because of the non-conference schedule. But scoring at a high proficiency, I mean, when have they not? 278 first downs, allowing just 194. They have allowed most of these on the running side. And I think there are some plays to be made in the running game. State has got to avoid negative plays and getting behind the chains and becoming predictable on offense. On the rushing side for them, as we mentioned before, they've run for over 2,000 yards. The team only allowed 1,544. Getting a conference play, obviously that average goes up, but that's the case for everybody. Averaging 305 yards a game through the air, allowing just 183. And I think a lot of that, too, is because these SEC games have been so tight and they've played some teams that prioritize the run. You know, State, I believe, memory serves me correct, second most running plays in the conference. Total offense, again, the numbers are gaudy. 5,432 yards of offense for Ole Miss against just 3,557 for their opponents. They've nearly doubled up touchdowns. 49 touchdowns for Ole Miss, just 27 for their opponents. And again, the non-conference schedule wasn't very challenging, but they've taken care of business. They're 10-1 for a reason. They have not done a ton of kickoff returns, and neither has Mississippi State. Neither have Ole Miss opponents. Ole Miss has returned it 8 times at an average of 21 yards. Their opponents 7 for 20. They've kind of negated the impact of kickoff returns in the college game these days, and for that matter, the NFL game too, if you watch. Averaging 7.4 yards a punt return, allowing right at 5. And, you know, the interception returns are kind of nominal. Again, just 6 picks for Ole Miss. They've thrown 8. The punting, and I think one of the things that jumps out to me about this Ole Miss team is the quality of the specialist. 46 yards average. In an SEC play, it's just under that. It's like 45 and change. And they've had a ton of those punts travel. I think 13 of 29 over 50 yards. I think we'll get to that in a second, but I think that's right. But their opponent's averaging about 45 yards a punt, too. 21 of 23 of their field goal attempts. Everything 40 yards and in has been automatic. That's something to consider, too. 59 yards in penalties, pretty much middle of the pack in that respect. Time of possession, it's about 50-50. You know, it's not like Ole Miss is just dominating time of possession, but they're also, too, not giving it away. Third down conversions as a team, this is a number that just jumps out of the stats here. 46% on third down. And then 68% on fourth down. 17 of 25 on fourth down. It's been the same on the other side for Ole Miss's opponents on the fourth downs. I just wonder if that number's correct because they've got a different percentage there. Maybe it didn't tabulate correctly. But Ole Miss has fumbled the ball 12 times and lost it 4 times. They forced 12 fumbles and only recovered 3. 22 sacks as a team. They've allowed just 16, and some of that is because of the athleticism of Trinidad Chambliss, who can evade pressure. They've made all 46 PATs. They are 55 of 62 in the red zone. Some of, probably a higher percentage of those are field goals than you'd like. 39 touchdowns and 62 trips. Been turned away just 7 times. And it felt like all of them happened against Florida. It seemed to be the case. But yeah, I mean, there's just a lot you look at here. And again, it's one thing to watch them and think about the look test. But at the end of the day, you go look at the numbers kind of by unit. And I mentioned Oscar Byrd, the punter. 29 punts, yeah, 13 of them, 50-plus yards. So that's the guy that can flip the field on you. And they do a good job getting out there covering those punts, too. Lucas Canario is the kicker, as I mentioned, 21 of 23. He's missed one from 40 to 49, and one from 50-plus. But everything 40 and in, 16 for 16. And then 5 for 7 beyond 40 with a long of 54. Yeah, so again, you work your way through this, and you begin to see that there's just not a lot of glaring issues with this Ole Miss team. The kickoffs, they've had 75 of them. from Lucas, and 68 of them have been touchbacks. And then the young guy, Mike Baker, has had five kickoffs. Two of those have gone out of bounds, but that's a younger guy. So they're not going to give you much to work with. We talk about that game within the game, and there's so much of that with football. You know, those extra yards of real estate, you know, flipping the field and making people drive the length of the field. That's one of those things you look at. Ole Miss done a good job with that. And, again, I think this is Lane Kiffin's best coaching job. A lot of people expected them to take a step back this year without Jackson Dart, you know, without that great defensive front. And they have a little bit from a statistical standpoint. But from a win-loss standpoint, they're better. And some of that is the product of the schedule. But the reality of it is you play who you play. The question, I think, comes in for this game, what is the collective psyche of this team? You know, what happens with this team if this dark cloud about Lane Kiffin's future hangs over their heads? I mean, these guys picked Ole Miss for a reason. Lane Kiffin was a big part of that. He was instrumental in recruiting those guys and has been a big part of their development. And so if you're one of those players, it's like, hey, man, look, we weren't expected to make the playoff, and then here we are with a chance to get to the playoff and compete for a national championship. We've done a great job. And the buy-in obviously has been great. But then all of a sudden, just as you're thinking about hosting a playoff game and how significant that would be from an economical standpoint to Oxford, now all of a sudden, there's a new brand of economics you got to consider. The money being offered to Lane Kiffin. The latest I've heard on this is that he is expected to go to LSU. But as I have said on many shows, Lane Kiffin marches to the beat of his own drum. He may tell the team before the Egg Bowl, I'm staying. But I just go back and question that whole statement that the administration pushed out last Friday. I think in many respects it's kind of demoralized their fan base. And you got media members putting up hot boards and things like that because, you know, fans want to know. They care. And to be fair, even though, listen, it's a rivalry and you think, hey, it couldn't happen to a better bunch, and I agree, but what's happened to these folks is almost unfair. It truly is. You're finally getting that dream season, a season you weren't expecting, and then you may lose your coach before you get in a playoff. And with a loss to Mississippi State, and then perhaps Lane Kiffin announces he's leaving the next day, you might miss the playoff and end up in the Citrus Bowl or something like that. You know, there's a lot of that. And you know as well as I do, when you get your mind made up and your expectations are running wild and you get the rug pulled out from under you, you begin to kind of question all that stuff. You know, is it worth the commitment? And, you know, I think this is also a little bit of a reminder, too, that maybe Ole Miss is not quite who they think they are. I think they felt like they had graduated. But if they lose Lane Kiffin to LSU, that's going to be a difficult thing to overcome. It's one thing that when we lost Dan Mullen to Florida, they were in another division. You know, but Ole Miss sees LSU as a rival, even though LSU doesn't reciprocate. And so that would be one of those things that would just kind of be another fly in the ointment. It's bad enough to lose him, but now we have to play him regularly in the Magnolia Bowl or whatever we're calling it these days. And so that's one of those things, too. You think about cruel and unusual punishment. That's probably part of it. But that's our look at Ole Miss. And, again, State's going to have to play exceptionally well. But you never know what a team's going to look like or feel like by the time you play them. You simply never know how that's going to play out. Now, today is Monday. The availability report will be out on Tuesday. So when we get together, it depends on how I feel. But when we get together Tuesday or Wednesday, we'll have a better idea of how things look. I don't know what Ole Miss's health situation looks like, but we do expect State to be at full throttle with the exception of the guys that are out for the year. We do expect Albert Reese and Isaac Smith to play and be somewhat close to 100%. And obviously, Fluff Bothwell has had two more weeks of treatment. So we expect him to be closer to 100%. I'm told he won't be fully 100% until we get into the spring. He just needs some time to kind of rest and let some of that soft tissue damage heal. But Fluff's going to have to be a big part of this game, and we're going to need Mississippi State's running game and offensive line to play well. I do think there's some plays to be made in the throw game, as Jeff Lebby says, but I think by and large – you're going to have to get this thing done on the run. And I think they're a team that's going to prioritize to run too and kind of set up some play action pass. So spying the quarterback, probably smart. Probably bringing pressure off the edges is probably one of those things you look at. You're probably not going to overhang. You know, you're probably just going to go out there and make him stay in the pocket and make him distribute the football. State secondary has been really good. So, you know, you got to lean on those guys a little bit. But that's our look at Ole Miss. All right, time for our close with Blair, player of the day. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R, right? Blair Chandler. His phone number, 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. 25 years of experience in the mortgage loan origination business. Nobody stays in a meat grinder of an industry that long without being a predator. Yeah, simple as that. You can get an apex predator working for you to make your dreams of home ownership come true. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, the only name to know is Blair Chandler. Save that name and number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may not have a need now, but you may have one later. And rather than having to go Google and start asking people, you'll already have it. Going to have a couple of Boneyard loans closed this coming month with Blair. We've had several over the years. You could be next. He can be your advocate with underwriting. Again, 25 years of experience, man. He knows the underwriting guidelines. He knows what they're looking for. He knows how to order an appraisal the right way. There's a lot to this industry. So entrust your mortgage business into the hands of somebody that knows how to get things done. Blair Chandler at closeatblair.com. Okay, our Close at Blair player of the day. We got a lot of different options here. I'm going to go with Anthony Evans. Now, I don't know that we featured Anthony this year, but we know what Brennan Thompson can do. We know when you get a one-high safety, there is a decision that has to be made. Brennan Thompson is a guy that's going to outrun anybody on the fade. And so sometimes you're going to see that one-high safety kind of cheat over just a little bit. I know we want to take some chunk plays. We want to do some things down the field in the vertical passing game. I think Anthony Evans has to be that man across the middle, too. You can do some shots with him down the field. But Ant's got a real grit to him. He can run through tackles, as you guys saw against the University of Arkansas. Broke three tackles to get into the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. I think Anthony Evans has to have a big game for us. And I mean a big game for us. I think it's very, very, very important that AE has a huge game for Mississippi State. Brennan's going to get his. You know, Brennan's the second leading receiver in the Southeastern Conference, may end up over 1,000 yards this year. But you got to have a plan B. And you got to have a third receiver, perhaps it's Aiden Williams. You know, he's had some good moments, but maybe he elevates his game a little bit more playing against his former team. But we're going to go with our Close of Blair player today, Anthony Evans, the third, by way of the University of Georgia. Okay, time for today's top 10 list. There will be not, I don't think, any guitars used on this list today, but that's not going to stop us for praising our friends at Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. I have a guitar that I absolutely love from them, my Steve Vai Signature Original. And maybe you don't even know who Steve Vai is, and that's okay. But you can find a guitar that fits your level of expertise, your level of financial commitment, and perhaps your dreams at KalidoGuitars.com. If you're looking for a great starter model, you can find that. If you want a professional grade guitar, you can find that too. If you're an intermediate player, they can accommodate you. Incredible selection and level of expertise that is unsurpassed. They're guitar players too. Yeah, they're guitar players too, right? So it's not just like a warehouse operation where just somebody goes back there and grabs a guitar and slaps a shipping label on it, and next thing you know, it's on a truck somewhere. They're going to inspect your guitar. They're going to professionally set it up. It's going to be ready to play when it shows up at your crib. Now, you can stop by and see them in Lake Jackson, Texas, at that great showroom just south of Houston. You can call them over the phone, or you can shop online. But no matter which method you choose, use promo code BSR. You know it well. That's going to get you a 10% discount off their already low price. That's going to get you no shipping. That's going to get you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. Everybody wins. Everybody wins. A great Mississippi State small business. You and Mississippi State all win. Your bandmates win. Everybody wins when you get new gear. So what are you looking for? Cases, gig bags, accessories, cables, strings, anything you need to be a real guitar player, you can find it at ColitoGuitars.com. And they get it out to you pretty quick, too. So maybe if you're like on the fence about this Christmas, maybe get off the fence and give them a call or a text or whatever today. Because I can promise you, they made my guitar dreams come true. They can do the same for you or your guitar player. That's ColitoGuitars.com. Okay, as I mentioned, we got a theme this week. Today, we're doing Baton Rouge rappers. That's right. It started out just musicians in Baton Rouge, and then it became Baton Rouge rappers. And then my oldest son, Ani, kind of overruled a couple of mine. I shared with him, hey, did you know this? I'm going to get to that little tidbit. And next thing you know, he wanted to know the list, and he rearranged some things and mentioned some people that I was not quite as familiar with. So this list has been ratified, and now we put it up for a vote before the people. Top 10 rappers from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And one of these is a little more sentimental to me. All right, this was one of the additions from Ani. It's Pimp C's Coming Up. And he says that he somehow he has a connection to Pimp C through somebody else. Pimp C used to work with so-and-so, and like I couldn't make the math work. But somehow he has a connection through a friend. Number nine, and many of you are going to, those of you that love the rap genre, you're gonna pan me on this selection. I had to include him because he is a platinum artist in the rap genre from Baton Rouge. My youngest loves him. Loves him. I just don't really like the whole mumble rap thing. It's not my thing. It may be yours. I'm not judging you. I'm just ranking these songs and artists in the order in which I like them. But number nine is going to be NBA Youngboy, and we're going with Hot Now. He also went to Scotlandville High School, where Furzell Shepherd's from. A little bit before him, obviously, but the same high school. And it's interesting to hear. A lot of these stories are very similar. But Scotlandville, they have the avenues up there, is what they call them. And it's a rough area. A lot of poverty up there. A lot of kids trying to find a way to get out. Number eight, another addition from Ani. It's Lil Fat. Yeah, you know Lil Wayne? You know Lil This, Lil Baby, whatever? Now it's Lil Fat. Tear it down. Pimp C's coming up. Lil Fat's tearing it down. Number seven, God rest his soul, from Baton Rouge, but part of the No Limit family. It's Young Bleed. Had an aneurysm. Died not too long ago. How You Do That? That's the name of the song. A lot of people know that. Used to, if you went to Saints games, you heard it regularly. The clean version. All right, number six. And this is what led me to kind of reach out to Ani in the first place. Rapper named Fredo Bang. The song is Top. It's number six track. So, Fredo Bang played baseball at Scotlandville High School and then transferred to Baker, where he was the starting shortstop, at the same time that I was coaching high school baseball and Ani was playing high school baseball. And just so you know, we played Scotlandville every year and Baker every other year. So, there's a good chance that one Frederick Gibbons, better known as Fredo Bang, played against us. I can't prove it. I'm sure if I went and found an old scorebook somewhere, I could probably find F. Gibbons in there. But graduated the same year as Ani. So, yeah, good chance we played against him. We had good record against Scotlandville. I don't remember how well we did against Baker. I want to say we probably split with him. But an interesting note. Number five, Fox. I kind of like this one, guys. It's why it's number five. I think the top four, when I explain them, you'll understand why they're the top four. You probably already know some of these. But it's Fox, Not Myself. That's number five track today. Now, number four, this is not a real rap song. Not a real rap artist. But it kind of fits the genre. back in the day. And you guys know that, you know, I got a lot of connections down there. And when I was with Cervello, they were based out of Baton Rouge. And we used to play shows and go see shows with our friends Pastel, who was the backing band for Kuiper. You guys remember Kuiper? Yeah. Well, you know, of course, they sampled Owner of a Lonely Heart and put out this great song, Tic-Tac-Toe. It's a top 40 hit. Countdown to the Year 2000 was also really good. And I love the percussion on that. But yeah, because of the fact that it's a back-in-the-day track, back when sampling was not regulated, Kuiper was like the first guy to really make it. He didn't even have a band, right? And so our buddies Pastel from Lafayette, Louisiana, Jason Hayes, one of the most talented guys I've ever known, went out to California, made it big doing soundtracks for video games. Yeah. Anyway, so shout out to Kuiper. Your music lives on. Because I think one of the things, too, like that old school music, if we don't refresh it every now and again, it kind of gets lost. All right, now number three. Now, this young man actually attended the high school that I coached at, Broadmoor High School, before I was there. He actually bounced around from Broadmoor to Bel Air to Woodlawn. I don't know that he graduated, but I can tell you the kids on my baseball team loved Webby. Loved him. Felt like he was a Baton Rouge and a Broadmoor legend. They loved him. And so there were a lot of kids on our team that had, you know, walk-up songs from Webby, you know, because he was from their element. You know, they knew his music. He was a Baton Rouge guy. They wanted to support him. They were proud of him. And I had a different song picked out, but Ani overruled me. And he goes, "Nah, Dad, you got to go with Independent." He said, "That's the Webby track that kind of started it all for everybody." So that's our number three track today, Webby's Independent. Number two, and you probably wonder, like those of you that know the Baton Rouge rap scene, you probably wondered which direction I would go here. Because there's really no wrong way to do it. Because there's one guy that's been a little bit more successful, and there's another guy that's got a little more street cred back in the 225. We're going to go with Boosie at number two. Boosie at number two with Wipe Me Down. This is another guy, too, that the young people under my supervision absolutely loved Boosie. They thought he was the biggest thing ever. And one of the things that I'll say, too, about Boosie, he did a lot for the community, too. Like a lot of times, there's a lot of people that get involved, and then they leave, and they forget where they came from. That's not the case with Boosie. And that we've had all these, you know, there's been some legal issues around the, you know, there's been some things that have happened over the years. But he has done a lot to help young people and families in Baton Rouge. He's the guy that gives back. And he also is the guy that attended McKinley High School before we played them. But we played those guys too. But number one, and Ani said this has got to be number one. Let me pick the song. But he goes, "Dad, you can't." I had Boosie number one, and I got talked into changing this. Kevin Gates is number one with Really, Really. And again, that's a platinum recording artist. And what's interesting too about Kevin Gates, I have seen a lot of reels with him. You know, you never know what the algorithm's going to spit out to you. This is a guy that has got a pretty good handle on things. And that's one of the things that I respect. You know, this is another guy that came from McKinley High School, same high school that Boosie went to. And then they're contemporaries in the rap game. And but Kevin Gates has an interesting philosophy about life. And I think that he is a guy that will have some staying power, not just because he's very talented, but he's got a good head on his shoulders. You just kind of can tell. This is a guy that understands kind of what life is about. And again, so Kevin Gates, your number one Baton Rouge rapper. And again, he's had a lot of big hits, and he is, you know, he's a national recording artist. He's not just a guy that's just from Louisiana that just kind of never really gets out of Louisiana, you know, maybe in a border state. You know, Kevin Gates is a guy that's kind of known throughout the country. So that's your top 10 for today. We'll be back tomorrow with another one. Our theme will continue. You never know what direction we're going to go tomorrow, but you know what we're kind of getting at here. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samonte on X. DAWGMATIC67. That's Dogmatic67, which marks the year of his birth. You can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. And why do we love them? Because they have the things we want. We can't get enough Mississippi State merch. We love repping the brand in good times and bad. And Mom, I'm just going to tell you, don't overthink it. Every Bulldog on your shopping list wants more Mississippi State merch. You can make everybody happy with a package from Campus Bookmart. You need to wrap it in maroon and white. Yeah, you need to do that. I can promise you, Dad doesn't ask for much, but he'd love to have some new Mississippi State shirts, whether it's that trendy new quarter zip or a polo or perhaps a button-up. But just some fun stuff with the Mississippi State logo is always a great gift idea. The kids will be happy, too. We love it, man. We do. We love Mississippi State gear. So if you need gift ideas or you need things to detail out your fan cave, you can find it all at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It's BSR. You know it well. Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Okay, by the time many of you listen to this show, our first game in the Emerald Coast Classic for the ladies will be over. It's going to be at 1:30 today. It's out in Niceville, Florida. We'll take on Alcorn State. We'll play either Middle Tennessee State or Providence tomorrow. So, again, Sam Purcell kind of sent out the bat signal or the dog signal, trying to get you guys to come out and support them. We don't know what time we're going to play tomorrow or who we're even going to play. We do expect to win today against Alcorn State, and we'll complete the the swag trifecta, I guess, when it's all said and done. Played Valley and Jackson State. Now we get Alcorn. Leave the state to go play Alcorn. Kind of interesting how the schedule works out in that respect. So we'll have a breakdown on tomorrow's show. Yeah. Now, this evening, as you guys are aware, the Mississippi State men will be back at Humphrey Coliseum as they host the Privateers of New Orleans. I remember years ago going down to UNO to watch them play down there. You know, some great Mississippi State teams have played at UNO over the years in multiple sports. But, we gave it a little bit of a touch yesterday. We'll be a little more in-depth today as we're doing the show during the day instead of at night. I'll be back with you tomorrow, and we'll kind of break down what happens. But UNO, again, 2-3 this year, and we'll kind of look and see who they've played and what they've done. Had the exhibitions earlier in the year against Sacramento State. They win that 89-76. And then open up play on the road at TCU and give the Privateers some credit. That's a Power Four opponent on their home floor, and they gave them everything they wanted and then some as they beat TCU 78-74. That's a big, big win for that program. They get Suno 115-73 in their home opener there in New Orleans. They travel to LSU, and again, granted, LSU not expected to be very good, but LSU got after them pretty good, 93-58. They make the short trip across town to Fogelman Arena, the home of the Tulane Green Wave, and beat them by 22, 85-63. And then they, let's see here. What am I missing here? Oh, that Suno thing was an exhibition. And then they get Pepperdine and Fresno State. So maybe I've confused some things here. I was confused. But nevertheless, this is a team that we're not going to be able to take lightly. They go to Pepperdine, all the way out there in Malibu, California, lose by 11, and lose by 9 at Fresno State. So kind of a 2-for-1 deal going west out there. So 2-3, they've lost 2 in a row. So yeah, so it looks like, yeah, those were exhibitions. So LSU, Tulane, Pepperdine, Fresno State, that's the more recent opponents there. But it's an interesting concept in many respects when you look at their scheduling. But, we can't take anything for granted right now, right? The Privateers averaging 75 points a game, giving up 81. They've shot 42% from the field, 36% from beyond the arc. That's always a concern for us. We don't always close out on shooters. Pulling down 38 boards a game, they actually have a almost three-board differential in their favor. Not necessarily a great team basketball team based on the stats. About 12 assists a game. They are turning it over a good bit, too. That's a good thing for us because we turn it over a lot, too. That's one thing we've got to fix. We have to fix that. They're turning it over 15 times a game. Opponents just 8.6. Five steals a game, and then their opponents pulling down seven. And then 14 blocks on the year. They've been blocked 18 times. Look more at the individual numbers, just so you guys know who to pay attention to. Colton Benson currently leads UNO with 17.4 points a game. And a lot of those coming via the three-point shot. He's 19 of 47, shooting right at 40% this year. He is a perfect 20 for 20 from the free throw line. Guy also somewhat active on the boards, too. Pulls down just over three a game. Ja'Kevion Buckley averaging 16 points a game. Not quite as adept as a three-point shooter, but still, you know, right at 39%. He just doesn't shoot as many. So 22, Colton Benson is a name to know, as is Ja'Kevion Buckley, number five. From there, the drop-off is somewhat substantial. MJ Thomas averaging right at 9 points a game. And from there, it's just pretty much dealer's choice. But kind of looking through the rebounding aspect of it, MJ Thomas has been the best rebounder with Buckley second. Both those guys pulling down 7 and 8 boards respectively. But it's going to be an interesting game for us. The bottom line is we just need to win. I don't even care so much about the style points. We've got to win this game. And again, as I shared yesterday, many of you that were maybe you saw a fatal flaw early. Maybe you did. But, you know, I was like, hey, it's not time to panic. I still don't think it's time to panic. I do think it's time to be very concerned. Of course, Bulldogs back in Humphrey Coliseum after tonight's game. This Friday will be a doubleheader. You can watch the Egg Bowl and then kind of pal around campus a little bit and head over to Hump to play SMU. We'll talk more about that as we get deeper into the week. But that's your basketball preview. We'll have full coverage from Humphrey Coliseum tonight over at jeanspage.com. All that will be free. All of the post-game, the AP Flash Gamer, the Chris Jans comments, and any players that we get, every bit of that we will have for you for free. We'll have some takeaways tomorrow. Again, it's a holiday week, but we don't take much time off. All that's important to us. We're your eyes and ears. If we wanted to have a regular 9-to-5, we'd have one. Right, that's just not what we're looking for, and we enjoy what we do, and we're going to bring you the best coverage anywhere. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can look at all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest, the full-service kitchen, the back porch area, the wet bar, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2, soon to be 3 baths, plenty of parking. That's one of the disadvantages a lot of places. You want to have people come over when you're Airbnb in it, and there's no room for everybody. Sometimes not even a lot of room for you to park. This is the old renovated country club out past the Highlands on the old golf course. And so you can imagine how many parking spots were available for all those golfers, right? Well, now they're available to you and your guest. So you can have plenty of people come over, whether it's a baby shower weekend, maybe it's a family reunion. Plenty of room for everybody to get spread out. And it's all those in-between times that mean the most, right? I mean, it's like it's one thing to go to dinner, go to a ball game, but just kind of going back home and just kind of getting caught up and bonding and spending time together. It means so much. It truly does. You've dreamed of doing this. You've said you've seen it on movies. But wouldn't it be great if we all went and rented a house? We'll do it. And again, just 5 minutes from the Mississippi State campus, so you can incorporate some Mississippi State sporting events in your trip, or whether it's a work trip, whether you need to bring a work crew up here and you're going to spread out around the Golden Triangle, you need a home base. I've had some friends that have done that. So consider that as your best and first option, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, we talked about the Facebook page. There's also going to be some booking options that pop up too. You can go Airbnb and VRBO if you want to. Maybe you've got a credit with them. I don't know, right? But you can. But if you want to save some money, Let me give you a credit. Promo code BSR10, that's BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. Yeah, just by listening to the show, you're saving money at the premium place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town. And again, hey, life is short, death is certain. Let's live a little bit. Let's get together a little more often. Stark Vegas Clubhouse can help you with that. Open year-round. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, as we finish up here today, Len Kiffin is about to take the microphone. It is his Egg Bowl presser. We will have full transcriptions of everything that he said about Mississippi State up on jeanspage.com shortly after he finishes. So we're working through that aspect of it. Everybody wants to know, Steve, what do you think? I think he's leaving. Now, I could be wrong. I can't say that I've got that sourced really well. There's a lot of people out there that believe they know what he's going to do. But even a lot of the Ole Miss folks are like, you know what, I think this thing is over. Now, again, Lane Kiffin is a maverick. You just never know what he's going to do. And I think that's one of the things that makes him a great football coach is you never know what he's going to do. So, you know, he may take the microphone today and say, you know what, I'm coming back to Ole Miss. I'm tired of all this. I just want to stay here. Who knows? Who knows? One of the things that I have heard is that Kiffin has gotten really frustrated about losing players to, like, bigger-name schools. Like, working in the portal, guys they felt really good about, and then as the decision comes along, then all of a sudden LSU or an Alabama comes along that's got a more of a tradition. And they've actually won national championships. I mean, real ones. I don't mean the Dunkel Index or the Lichtenhouse Reserve or the Xavier Telegraph. Not that stuff. But in the modern era where it's actually won on the field and not a matter of a vote or a computer program, I'm told that's one of the things that has kind of been a bit of an irritant for him at Ole Miss. So, you know, we'll see what he decides to do. But again, I go back to that statement last Friday that Keith Carter released. It's not one that inspires a lot of confidence, I think, within the Ole Miss fan base. I think in some respects it has demoralized them. Now, they're making a big push to get folks to Davis Wade Stadium, and the game is now officially a sellout. And, of course, some people think, well, Ole Miss is just going to take over Davis Wade Stadium. Well, you know, you have season tickets, so no, you're still going to be in your seat, right? But, yeah, sellout crowd. We've had a couple of those, and super cool to be able to have that this year. Should be an electric atmosphere, Davis Wade Stadium. We need you to be loud and proud. And there's so many keys to victory in this ball game, and I feel like that I have talked about this on 100 shows already, and it's just Monday. I mean, all weekend long, having to jump on this show and that show. I say yes to too much. I really do. I do. I do it to myself. I just don't want to be selfish because I remember there's a time I just wanted a chance, right? I was just trying to make it and wanted to get a big interview, you know, and sometimes you felt like that what you did wasn't big enough for certain people, But the reality of it is we are a family, and I like to be able to go out there and represent the Bulldog brand. Nobody gives me anything for that stuff. I just do it out of the goodness of my heart. I don't need anybody to buy me lunch. I make enough money. I don't need to get out here and shill on social media for people and hope that I get a free T-shirt. That's not what I'm doing. You know, I'm trying to help people, right? Trying to help people. So we'll see how things go. But as we get deeper into this thing, you know, the Bulldogs are practicing now. Rebels are practicing now. And when we get back together tomorrow, we'll talk a little bit about perhaps what Lane Kiffin and the players had to say. We'll recap a couple of basketball games for you. And I wanted to tell you, too, Kaisan Shepherd, of course, recommits to Mississippi State. He was committed to State out of high school out of Germantown, Tennessee. Had a great year up there. Went to Trinity Valley Community College in Texas and then transfers to East Mississippi. So because of the three-semester transfer rule with JUCO, he's going to be a redshirt next year at State. So it's basically kind of like you're going out and signing a high school guy or maybe even getting like a freshman out of the portal. He is listed at 6'7", 325. I did not see East Mississippi Community College play this year, so I can't personally vouch for the veracity of that, but mainly G5 on the offer list. Arkansas State, Georgia State, Middle Tennessee, Mississippi Valley State, Sam Houston, San Diego State, Southern Miss, Temple, Texas Southern, Texas State, UTEP, and UTSA. So again, a lot of G5 schools there. But the reality of it is Mississippi State's where he's always wanted to be. And so when the opportunity presented itself, he saw no need to wait. Announced just yesterday evening. And, you know, we'll see how things progress. But he's not a guy that's going to help us next year. He's a guy that needs a year in the weight room and to kind of acclimate to major college life. And I think that's a good thing when it's all said and done. I think he needs the opportunity to develop. And that's one of the things that we've got to do to kind of get off this portal roller coaster is we got to get a nucleus of players that are with us 2 and 3 years and hopefully 4. Doesn't always work out that way. Reminder, the availability report will be out Tuesday evening. Jeff Levy will do his final call-in show of the regular season. If we have a bowl game, I'm sure they'll do one or two. I don't know what the plans are. But that'll be Tuesday evening, too. So everything is moved up a little bit for State due to the start on Friday. And then we'll kind of see how things go. It's going to be a good visit list this week. We are going to host some junior college visitors and a lot of people that I don't think fully appreciate. We need junior college guys to provide depth and competition and to develop. You forget Brylan Lanier was a junior college guy. Jerron Manning was a junior college guy. Devon Booth was a junior college product. There's several of them. So there is value in those guys, but you don't get a lot of immediate impact on the roster because the speed of the game is just so much different, right? That's the thing that I think people need to understand. These guys are great athletes, but they've got to develop and learn to play at a higher level before you throw them out there. You know, and I go back and think about our portal class. You know, we took Dwight Lewis and, you know, felt good about that, but felt like we needed to get another corner. And Dwight is basically just kind of been a special teams guy here. Like him a lot, but again, got it transfers up from NAIA. You got to get used to playing football at a different speed here. And it takes some time for those guys. And we have a very fertile junior college system. And I actually think, you know, after a few years, the portal kind of prevented some talented players from working their way through the junior college system. I think now that we're going to have potentially 5 years of eligibility, that didn't happen right away. I think you're going to see the junior college ranks kind of make a little bit of a resurgence, maybe not to what it once was, but better than it currently is. But, you know, we liked Kyson Shepherd out of high school. And so he gets the benefit of 2 years of junior college to grow and kind of acclimate, and then he'll get a year to redshirt, and then he'll have 2 years. He's 3 years to play, too. He'll redshirt next year, and then we'll kind of see how things go. But, yeah, we're going to need to take some junior college guys because we're losing so much. JUCO guys can help you on special teams. JUCO guys can be guys that kind of eat up snaps for you and games that kind of get away from you. I mean, you know, are games that you're blowing somebody out. You play the FCS game and you get some guys on the field. All of that is important. So I share that with you because people are like, oh, JUCO guy, JUCO guy. Yeah, you know, when we lost the big offensive lineman, Jermaine Mitchell of Georgia, everybody freaked out. When we took him as a commitment, where are we getting a junior college guy? Well, then he goes to Georgia and you think, oh, well, I really wanted him. Well, you didn't want him when we committed him. You got to understand that aspect of it too. You know, if he's good enough to play at Georgia, he's certainly good enough to play here. And I think that's one of those things that people lose sight of. And so we're working through this. We'll have a full visit list for you up, I would suspect on Wednesday, maybe Thursday. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, we're working through this. But it's going to be a very star-studded day in Stargell. If we want to go out here and show what we're about and the progress that we've made and the things that we have done to improve the game day atmosphere at Mississippi State, you're going to be able to do it Friday, right? Even though it's a day game, you know as well as I do, we can rock it out, we can pack it out, and we can show people how far we've come. Even though it's daytime, there are still some cool things that we can do with the new amenities, the new toys that we have at Davis-Wade Stadium. But we're going to have a ton of recruits for this year and next year and beyond. They're going to be in attendance to see us play Ole Miss. It's very important for us to win this football game. Like I've seen some of our people out there, it's a coping mechanism. I understand it. Oh, Steve, we're going to get killed. And then if we win, you're like, oh, my gosh. You're happy either way because you can say, I told you so, or you can celebrate in the victory. We'll take all comers. But one of the things that I am a little bit tired of seeing are people saying that we're not committed to football. You're wrong, okay? You're wrong, and you can rest on your throne of wrongness. I'm perfectly okay with you being wrong. If we weren't committed to football, we wouldn't have went out and spent these millions of dollars in the offseason to upgrade the game day experience at Mississippi State and improve some fan amenities. We would not have done that. We would not have announced plans for the new football-only IPF. We wouldn't do that. And, the Howard family has been so generous with us. And like, if we had told them, hey, you guys are going to make a donation, we think it's better used here, the Howard family would have been like, okay, great, we just love Mississippi State. It's not like anybody made us do that. You know, we have made a commitment, and we are continuing to make financial commitments to improve everything about our football program. Now, we don't have the biggest budget. We don't. And one of the things that I think that we've got to kind of abandon, too, is this old, you know, fire first and ask questions later mentality. You know, I don't need to rehash what's happened to us in the last 3 years. And he says, three. Yeah, three. 3 years ago, we won the Egg Bowl with Mike Leach. 3 years ago. And look at what's happened since then. We go through the failed Zach Arnett year, where we actually had like a top 50 defense, but it got overshadowed because we were so bad on offense. Remember the Barbe bombs you guys are calling for? Didn't work out. And I really hoped that it would. I really liked Zach a lot. Liked a lot of guys on that staff. Didn't work out for us. And then you bring in Jeff Lebby, and we have to kind of have a purge. You bring some guys in, try to reset things. And Jeff said, hey, I don't see year one as a rebuilding year. That all sounded good. We kind of knew better. We won two games. And now here we are with a chance to control our own destiny and achieve a bowl game in year two. Next year, I think it's a given you go to a bowl game. I don't think next year you go into it and say, man, I just want to make a bowl game. You know, two of our big goals, get the egg back, get to a bowl game, and then have a winning season. Can you imagine how you would feel if we win that game on Friday? You wouldn't even really care that much about the bowl game until the day we get there, and you're going to win, right? You want to win the game. My point being is that this year in particular, because of what we've gone through the last 3 years, winning the egg and getting to a bowl game, win or lose in the bowl game, I think solidifies a lot of people's feelings that, hey, we are on the way back, right? If we lose this game and Ole Miss goes to the playoff and wins a game or two, we're going to feel even worse about where we sit. And that's part of the issue. It's one thing when you're struggling. And then when you're struggling at the same time that your opponents, your rivals are thriving, it makes it all the more difficult. So we got people out here rooting for Lane Kiffin to leave. Yeah, hey, we like it better when we're on an even playing field. But they're better than us. And it's not just been like a one-year thing. As I've said many times, Lane Kiffin has coached his tail off this year. It's been incredible. And people are like, well, you know, how much interaction does he have? Guys, he put the staff together, okay? He gets the credit for it. He does. And that's why LSU and Florida and others would love to have him. So we're going to get ready to get out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. And again, this is a special week. It's Egg Bowl week, so that it requires relentless effort. As Dan Mullen said, it requires strain from all of us. So we're going to have a show Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and come back either Friday or Saturday. So you're going to hear my voice a lot this week. And again, we're not going to do the full 90 minutes, but we're going to give you hour 10 each day to get you ready for the battle for the golden egg. So you enjoyed our wrap-up today. We'll have more about what Lane Kiffin and what the players had to say and anything else that we learned about his situation and about the Egg Bowl, and we'll begin to kind of move forward, wrap up some basketball stuff. We'll get into Wednesday. We'll go ahead and kind of predict the weekend, okay? If you hadn't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com. You can get signed copies of all of my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and The Dude, of course. And then you can also get the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. If you're in recovery or you need to be in recovery or you know somebody that would just like a redemption story, that's the book for you. I'm going to give you some insight, too. Starting at midnight Eastern, 11 o'clock Central, you can get Jeans Page at 75% off. You got 6 days to save. That's it, just six. 75% off the annual subscription price starting at 11 p.m. Central tonight. I'm giving you guys a little lead time here, because by the time some of you listen to it, it may already be midnight. And so come join us and be a part of our community there. And if you hadn't done so, go ahead and check out TrueRest.com. You know, the bride runs the True Rest Float Spa here in Starkville. We own it. It's a mom and pop shop, mostly mom, not gonna lie about it, mostly her, but she loves it. And coming up on our 2-year anniversary, there were a lot of people that said, man, you guys are crazy, and now here we are thriving, right? If you're a person that suffers from chronic anxiety or pain, or maybe you just need a reset or some time to yourself, we can help you with that. Maybe you're looking for a unique date night idea, maybe a girls' night, who knows? This is a great opportunity for you. We're running the package right now where you get two floats for a discounted price as part of the Black Friday special. Dial 662-268-7601, and you can speak directly to my wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have and get you guys set up for your floats. Until tomorrow, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.